talking to that little girl, riding on the Pegasus.
Welcome to Election Profit Makers. It's your guide to winning and losing money on political outcomes and current events. My name's Kid Midas. I am the original Wave Rider. And I'm joined for this week's episode by a very special guest, Long John Silver, my old friend.
Hey there, buddy.
How are you, John?
I'm great.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, life is good. Weather is great. Although I did just receive a reverse 911 call. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's basically, they're just telling everybody that something's happening.
What?
That an emergency is happening.
Wait, this is like a text, like an Amber Alert where they say,
no,
look
it wasn't
out
an
for
Amber Alert. It comes through on the telephone.
It's a call?
Yeah, it's a call.
Is it a synthesized voice, like a robot voice?
Yes.
What did it say?
It said,
does the call show up as 911 on your phone?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Okay. What did it say?
It just said to avoid the UNC campus.
Because like school shooting, active shooter thing?
Well, that's what I thought. And then I realized, and then I went online and was like, what's going on at UNC? And then they're like cracking down on the Palestinians.
Oh, Gaza protesters?
Yeah,
Wait a minute. They just said avoid UNC. They didn't give any context.
No. Yeah.
They weren't like, avoid the UNC campus. The state apparatus of the police, which is state-subsidized violence, is being used to crush the dissident and free expression of the students.
No, that was implied. But
that was implied in the tone of the robot voice.
Yes.
A critique of the police's use in maintaining social control. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's going off at UNC, huh?
Yeah, it's going off. It's the Orange County Sheriff and the UNC police. And I don't know if the Chapel Hill police are involved. I don't know if they're I'm sure the Carborough police aren't involved.
Here's what I don't understand. Let's put aside all the ideological and conceptual dialogue around cracking down on students on college campuses, which is where you're supposed to be experimenting with thought and idealism and activism and praxis and politics and all that stuff. Put all that aside. Aren't these colleges all like going to graduate in like 3 weeks? Like, aren't we right at the end? I'm not in college, so I don't know. It's been years since I went to college in Ohio, Oberlin College.
Yeah, May is when you graduate. It's around Mother's Day always.
Why don't they just wait these kids out? Like, it's only, hasn't it? I mean,
well, not all.
It's not like the first day of the semester where you're like, oh my God, we got to deal with this the whole semester. If I was running the college, I'd be like, you know what? All right, 3 more weeks. It's a pain in the ass. But if these kids don't want to study for their finals and they want to fail, well, fuck them. Like, I got their tuition money. What do I care? Just keep them over in that corner. Let them have their little tents.
Is it a safety issue?
No, is that of course. A safety issue?
I know
issue?
It's not. But is that what they're saying?
Of course, that's what they're saying. That's why they wouldn't let the valedictorian speak at USC. It's what set this whole kerfuffle off, at least in the California system. The valedictorian that they chose to speak at USC's graduation had posted like pro-Palestinian stuff. So they were like, well, we can't let her speak because of a safety issue.
All right.
And then people started to get pretty happy.
But it just seems
college
like a bunch of
so much egg on their face.
On what? The quad wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Of course not. If they were camping out for concert tickets or if it was like the first game of the season at Cameron Indoor Stadium, you'd have tents upon tents.
Right. Although the Duke kids are over here, they've joined power.
Oh, is that true? The Duke kids are on the UNC campus?
Yeah, the Duke kids.
Holy
yeah.
shit. And they're telling me you can't make a peace treaty between Hamas and Netanyahu and
yeah.
you got Duke kids and UNC kids working together?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That honestly warms my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think the state kids are here too.
Holy shit.
Except they're not here anymore.
Right. They all got dispersed as per the reverse 911 call.
Yeah. I mean, I think they said they would all be expelled.
What a joke.
If they didn't.
Am I crazy for thinking that's truly pathetic? That you would expel them? This is like the thing they're going to remember. They're going to learn more from these. They're going to learn more from all of this than they learned in so many of their classes.
That this is like how the real world works.
Well, yeah, and just organizing and negotiating
yeah. oh, okay.
and idealism and, you know, free flow of information and debate. Like, isn't like, this is what, I mean.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm
100% on. I'm 100% support these kids. I hope they burn all the buildings to the ground. I hope they cause mass famine on all their campuses so people can see what it's like.
yeah, I haven't decided where I am. How could you not be
100% on support of these kids?
I was 100% on tearing down every Confederate monument and just laying waste to all of that stuff. I guess I'm just not following this as closely. Yeah, I think the kids should be able to be there as long as possible if they're not. Yeah, I don't understand the expelling.
Well, it's just a ham-handed, stupid, vicious way of bullying people into doing what you want. I mean, it's a point of leverage that the institution has over these kids. So, of course, they would use it.
But if they're just in the okay, so like I understand if you know, free speech, but also, you know, you're not free from the consequences of that free speech necessarily. So if they're taking over the library or something, I could see how the administration at some point is like, this is extremely disruptive, if not dangerous, but it's disruptive. And we are going to suspend you if you continue to take over these faculty commons and student commons. But being in the center of the quad doesn't feel like the same to me.
I will concede that there is a difference between like maybe physically blocking students from getting where they need to go if they just are not engaged in this action. And it's like, I just need to study, man. I have all these student loans. Let me study for this chem midterm or whatever, chem final.
Right.
Okay, fine. I think you could still make the case that in the grand scheme of things, this is still legitimate. Because when you look back, let's say it is a genocide. Let's assume for the moment it is an act of genocide. If kids had done this exact same thing whenever it was to try to stop the genocide in Rwanda, looking back on it now, we would have no bones with those kids. We'd be like, thank you for doing that. Because the Rwandan genocide went off without a hitch thanks to nobody in America doing shit about it. You know, hundreds of thousands of people were killed. I would assume that looking back on it from a higher altitude with distance, we'd be like, you know what? Those kids did the right thing. I have enough faith in college kids to be like, 20 years from now, we would look back and be like, yeah, they did the right thing. It was the right thing to do. It sucked. It's like, I always wonder what would happen if like I was trying to get somewhere. Let's say I was trying to get to a high-powered Hollywood meeting. I was about to sell the life rights to my biography to Tobey Maguire and Michael Bay. Very important meeting. This is make or break for me. This meeting could set me for life financially.
Tobey
right?
Maguire.
Yeah. And
isn't he an actor?
Yeah, he's going to play me in high school.
Okay.
And then I'm racing to get to the lot to Paramount Studios in my car. And then all of a sudden some climate protesters like show up and sit down in the middle of the road or whatever. I would be so furious and it would be such a struggle for me to try to put this in the context of like, okay, what's really important? Right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Or let's say I go to a museum and I finally get to spend some time alone with the Mona Lisa, and then some climate protesters show up and throw paint all over it and crazy glue their arms to the balcony or something, the railing in front of the painting.
You like that?
Well, I like it in the abstract because it's not inconveniencing me. The test comes when I would be the one who was inconvenienced. Like Tobey Maguire and Michael Bay making a movie about me, I'm set. It's going to be so much harder for me to support these protesters who are laying around in the street causing me to miss my meeting. So that's kind of how I feel about the campus protesters. I acknowledge that I don't really, it's not inconveniencing me at all if some kids on some campus are setting up tents or like banging pots and pans in the library or whatever. It's easy for me to say, yeah, 100% support the kids, 100% good for them.
Right.
These college presidents look like
fucking idiots.
But yeah,
when was
the
last time you walked on the quad at UNC?
Right, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, I support them. I think the college,
I support the cops. I'm 100%.
I know you do.
100%.
That's why people like our podcast, because we come at it from such different.
Yeah.
I'm ACAB and you're NCAB. No cops are bastards.
Yeah, that's definitely me. I love the cops.
You're ACA. All cops are heroes. John, let's turn to the latest in dog news. Have you heard any interesting news about dogs this week?
Yes, I have.
I think your little love affair with Christy Gnome is coming to an end. At least Predictic's love affair is coming to an end. Why don't you tell us what happened?
So Christy Gnome has released this book, you know, as these politicians do when they're running for something. And in the book, she goes into detail about how she was forced, I guess, in her thinking to kill her dog.
The book is called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward.
And yeah, she killed her dog.
She also killed a goat, Hail Satan.
She also killed a goat. Didn't get that far. I just read about the dog. And it seemed like the dog was kind of bad and that it wasn't doing a good job being a hunting dog. It was just a puppy. And it did kill some chickens. I'm going to try to.
I like this. This is good. You're pro cop and pro dog killing.
No, I think there probably is some world out there where a dog is really horrible that needs to be put down. That probably happens sometimes, mm-hmm. You know,
okay.
A dog
I'll
has
take your
attacked
word for
people.
It.
It's mauled people. It's just there's something wrong with it. And, you know, you have to make the tough decision to put the dog down. In this case, she's not talking about how this was a really hard thing to do. She not only did she do it, and it seems like she probably didn't need to do it, but she said she hated this dog.
It did seem
that
weirdly,
was the, where she
weirdly
screwed
personal.
Up. She needed to be like, I loved this dog. I had to do this horrible thing.
My hand was shaking as I squeezed the trigger.
But she was like, I did this really hard thing. I killed this thing that I absolutely hated.
Right.
And you're like, it doesn't sound like it was that
hard. Doesn't sound
for
like
you.
Such a wrenching decision. You probably took a lot of glee from it.
So it came out.
Well, it came out because she wrote about it in her book.
Right, right. Because she thought it was a good thing. And because I think about how, you know, modern day conservatism is in many ways. And I thought maybe this will be viewed as a good thing and that she's tough.
She can put down the things that she doesn't like that are problematic and difficult.
Right. I knew that I didn't like it, but I'm a little squishy liberal.
Mm-hmm. You're
so,
a libtard.
Yeah. So I did go to Predicted immediately. And this is something that you have to know and that I always have to teach myself again is that Predicted does not react quickly to certain news. So I went to Predicted. This thing had broke an hour ago. To me, that's like it had been out for 2 weeks. I went to Predicted and she was unmoved. Her price on Predicted had not moved. So I was like, it's nobody cares. But apparently later in the day, she, you know, lost half her value.
It's fascinating. She has dropped from 19 cents. That's where I bought in at 100 shares because you told me to invest in her because she was the prettiest, which meant that Trump would pick her as his vice president.
That was smart.
I bought it at 19. She's now at 5. I think this is the only piece of news that has actually affected a Predicted market in the last year.
Right.
Like Predicted has been so dead and ossified. And then all of a sudden, this story about this dog is the thing that gets people shorting a politician.
Well, so she's the one, you know, I'm no on everybody, but I have the fewest number of no shares on her because, again, I think that she has the best chance because she's the prettiest and that's what Trump would go for. I went there immediately. She was still at 19 cents. Maybe she was at 18 cents. Maybe she had dropped a cent, but nothing had happened. And I just said, no, I'm not going to buy no on her. And then I went back and she was at 9. And I thought, is this a good buying opportunity? And then I thought, no, it's not.
And now she's at 5.
Yeah. I went and bought, and she's going to go to 2. She's done.
It's really something. I mean, so your theory is that people on the Republican side would maybe admire this hardness.
That was my first thought.
Right. Hard-hearted, tough love. I got to put down this dog. I read someone theorized maybe she made a point of putting this on the public record because Trump famously hates dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a way to get on his good side. And then I read a Galaxy Brain take on New York Magazine that said, no, she put this out there so that Trump will not pick her. She has ruined her chances of being vice president without criticizing Trump. This is like 5D chess. So that she
might agree with that.
She doesn't have to break with the king and cause a potential rift, but now she's damaged goods.
No, that's
you think that's too clever by half? I kind of do.
But the fact that she's been doing all that other weird stuff, you know, the infomercials for the teeth,
the dentist,
and whatever, it's all stuff that you wouldn't do. But then again, maybe you would with Trump because anything that's really kind of trashy and
mm-hmm.
you know, about making money or hating dogs.
It could be that she just has poor judgment and there's nothing strategic about any of this.
But she is, you know, famously connected to Corey Lewandowski.
That's right. Her lover.
Well, yeah, allegedly.
We can assume they made love.
I don't know if we can assume that, but that's been rumored.
I'm going to take great pleasure in assuming that.
So he is somewhat of a strategist, whether you agree with how he would strategize or not. So I don't know if she would have made this decision on her own.
You think this is Lewandowski's hand guiding her actions? Very sexist. You don't believe that a woman, a pretty woman, can have autonomy
and make her own
decisions about killing animals. Killing dogs and goats.
I think she made the decision by herself to kill the dog and the goat. Where I don't believe she made the decision by herself is to publicize it. Because how could you make that decision? I mean, it went through editors and
Hachette, I think, is the publisher. Great job to Hachette. They're going to sell a lot of books.
What's the name of it again?
The name of the book that we're talking about is No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward.
That's terrible.
Subtitle, and you will know us by the trail of the dead. So I can't remember the last, again, the predicted market really reacted to this news. Of course, I've lost money once again. And it really seems like the conventional wisdom is like, yeah, there's no way Trump can pick her now. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Dogs.
Well, Laura Trump came out and I think said something, you know.
Laura Trump said, I've killed two dogs.
No, she came out and said, she said, this is bad. I mean, how can you come? She's the head of the RNC. You can't be putting your finger.
Oh, you can't.
On the scale. It's not your finger. It's your thumb.
Laura Trump. What did she say?
Anything is possible.
Scorched earth. Well, she said that, and then she said 4 years of scorched earth. So, Christy Noem, goodbye. You think it's really safe to say that? It's really going to be my man, Tim Scott. Should I buy more? He is not, you know, in spite of Christy Noem falling, no one else has surged. Tim Scott holding at 20. I know it's not going to be Tim Scott. You know why? He's too fucking dumb.
I don't know. But, you know, Pence.
J.D. Vance.
Maybe he feels like Pence was too smart now.
Yeah, that's true. You know who would truly be the galaxy brain take for Trump to pick? He needs a woman, right? Because he's losing suburban women. And he needs someone like, you know, how some people say it's going to be Tulsi Gabbard because Tulsi Gabbard used to be a Democrat and this will prove his bipartisan. He should mm-hmm. pick fucking Stormy Daniels. He should pick Stormy Daniels. It would just be the ultimate jujitsu. No one would see that coming.
Yeah.
A pretty blonde woman on the ticket.
Yeah.
Bygones are bygones. If I can reach across the aisle and work with Stormy Daniels, you know that I'm not a crazy authoritarian despot in waiting. It should be Trump Daniels. Golly, that would be incredible. Oh, my gosh.
Would she say yes, though?
That's a great question. I have a feeling she would not.
I think she wouldn't.
I don't think she would. Yeah, she seems too normal to do that.
Wow, Tulsi Gabbard. She's pretty. Tulsi Gabbard's pretty.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't pick Tulsi Gabbard over Christy Noem.
Because she has no standing politically right now. She's not anything.
Speaking of Stormy Daniels, that trial continues in New York. What will happen next? Only time will tell. Moving on. Portfolio update. I'm down almost $400 on predicted, John. I decided to make a little bit of money, and by a little bit of money, I think I mean $10. I sold 100 shares that Biden would be the Democratic nominee. I made a little profit on that. I still have, amazingly.
Hey, you did that? You did that this week?
Yeah.
I did that too.
Yeah, I just got tired of looking at those Biden shares.
I did too. I was like, what am I doing? There's not, this is, yeah, let's just sell this. And I took a little profit.
I took a little profit too, my friend.
Hey,
cheers.
We didn't coordinate on that.
So no, man. We did not coordinate.
Okay, so you're down $400.
I still have 400 shares that Tim Scott is going to be the GOP nominee. I'll never sell those. I'll never sell those. Never.
Okay, so let me tell you, I'm up $216 right now.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Do you want to talk about the Supreme Court stuff that happened last week? It was a really distressing week for the United States Supreme Court, from homelessness to whether presidents can break the law. Justice Alito is really
mad.
His brain is broken. Something happened. Maybe he's always been that way.
No. I think he's really angry at people on Twitter. And I mean, he reads
is that what happened? He got two online
the comments. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He is so mad.
That
you
is
can tell
so
when he speaks, when he speaks, you can tell that he's like answering his critics out there and he's just way too online.
It's really incredible.
Yeah.
He said, basically, folks, for people that didn't follow the Supreme Court argument about whether Trump has presidential immunity, he said, well, a president needs to have immunity because otherwise, if a president is in office and they're worried that they don't have immunity and that they'll be prosecuted by the successor, they will cling on to power undemocratically so as to avoid prosecution. And it's like, my bro, you're describing the situation that we're trying to resolve, like, right now. It's not hypothetical. Like, so being a criminal president is simultaneously, it's circular. You cannot get in trouble for being a criminal president, because if it is possible for criminal presidents to get in trouble, they will stay in office illegally so as to not be called to account for their criminality. So that committing the crime of staging a coup will make sense. That will be the outcome, even though that is the crime in this situation that is trying to be brought to account. Like, what? Like, you don't understand what I'm saying? It's like,
no, I don't understand. No, it's breaking my brain.
It's like circular logic. It's like saying, well, we can't make crime illegal.
Is it kind of how they say, like, law-abiding people never shoot anybody?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's like, we need to get rid of guns. And they were like, no, we don't. The only people committing these crimes are
criminals.
Law-abiding people are not committing these crimes. And then you're like, but you realize that they are law-abiding until they're not. And then they decide to
law-abiding is a legal status. It's not a character trait.
Right.
Which is kind of what he's like obscuring in his weird circular argument. It's wild. And then Brett Kavanaugh also said something really crazy. He said, well, the one thing all Americans can agree on is that Ford pardoning Nixon was a great decision. What? Where are these guys? Bizarre.
Huh.
Well, at least the pretense of this being an august institution is over.
It's been over since Bush v. Gore.
The public's opinion of the Supreme Court has never been lower, but I have a feeling that's more Dobbs than all this stuff, because no one's paying attention to this stuff, I don't think. But John, let's talk about the real looming news on the horizon. And this is huge news that's going to affect Illinois in particular. But for once, it's good news. The Super Cicada Uprising is happening very, very soon. And we need listeners to get out their Zoom recorders or their telephones and get ready to send us some truly epic cicada recordings. For the first time since 1803, two groups of periodical cicadas, Brood 19, which comes out every 13 years, confusingly, and Brood 13, which comes out every 17 years, even more confusingly. Is that really right? Do I have that right? That can't be right.
I don't know.
A bunch of cicadas are going to come out and go chaos. They're going to go totally chaotic in Illinois.
Yeah, no, I mean, in North Carolina, too. The 13-year one is coming out of North Carolina. In fact, they're out now.
You have to start recording some of those. But in Illinois, where you got these 13 and the 17-year-olds? And not 17-year-olds. Imagine being a 17-year-old and you've spent your whole life underground and then you come out. God, would you be going so buck wild?
But so are they, they're not overlapping. They're only overlapping in a few counties, I think.
Yeah, it's a very thin band. So if anyone who lives in that band, please get us a recording. I want to hear what this sounds like. And remember, the most interesting thing about these cicadas, remember when we were talking about the numbers?
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners sent in an article that said, this proves that prime numbers exist independently of our mathematical scaffolding that we use to make sense of the world. Because cicadas come out in prime number. Their hibernation periods are prime. The years are prime.
Right. And that is not random.
I mean, they're regularly distributed prime intervals.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I kind of think Judge Alito broke my brain, and now I can't even talk about prime numbers. Is that possible?
Maybe.
If you live in Illinois and you're going to be around for the super uprising of both broods of cicadas, please send us a recording, contact at electionprofitmakers.com, and please enjoy these cicadas?
They the ones here are not making a lot of noise, although I did wake up the other night and I heard all this banging around, and it sounded like someone was banging around on trash cans or something in the backyard, which we don't have trash cans. And I was like, what is going on? And so I opened the window to listen, and there was a cicada that was just bashing itself into the screen.
Hell yes.
Just trying to get in the house.
Oh my God. And they live underground for so many years. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Are they?
I mean, it's like something out of the Bible.
Yeah.
You can't say that about a lot of things these days.
No, but that's the locust.
I know, but still, it's kind of the same apocalyptic vibe, you know?
Yeah. But are they living underground, or are they just, they're not a full, honestly, I
kind of wish they were like moles and they just were fully formed and lived underground for 17
years. Yeah,
they're
not, right? They're just suddenly grow. What happens? Are they like a seed and then they grow?
They go, and then all of a sudden they're a fully grown cicada and they pop up out of the ground.
After 17 years, the seed becomes not dormant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 17-year seed, non-dormancy achieved. Cicadas arise. That's the chant that they use to bring them out of the ground.
And they're not evenly distributed. I mean, we know that they're not evenly distributed across the country. Like, even in North Carolina, they're in some counties. They're in Wake and Durham and Orange and maybe Alamance, but they're not in Guilford and Forsyth.
Sucks to be Guilford. Sucks to be Forsyth.
Yeah. But here, so in Orange County, they're here, but they aren't everywhere in Orange County.
Right.
I didn't know that. I thought that
I think they're going to be pretty dense in Illinois, though. I was looking at these maps.
Okay.
There's so many dots on these maps. I was getting so amped. All right. That's your assignment, Illinois listeners. We can't wait to hear these cicada recordings.
Well, I know we have some. I know we have some.
I hope we have some listeners.
I think they're all in Chicago, though.
Oh, Jesus.
Chicago. There's a song about Chicago now. It's like,
yeah, heard it's
it?
Huge on TikTok.
What is
and
it?
And when I get to Chicago, I'll know.
I feel it.
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
It?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good music.
It is good music.
Good music is timeless. All right, guys, Hollywood update. I finally went and saw some movies. I thought I would give you my micro reviews. I saw three movies. These titles are very apocalyptic. Speaking of cicadas. The first one, Even Hell Has Its Heroes. The second one, Late Night with the Devil. And the third one, Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World. What do you think of those titles? It's like I programmed a film festival.
Mm-hmm.
Even Hell Has Its Heroes is a documentary about the experimental drone metal band called Earth. And like Earth, like Earth's music, it was long and kind of droney. But overall, I was glad I saw it. I think a listener recommended it to me or something. Anyway, I think it was shot on Super 8. It was an interesting experience. I give that a B. Late Night with the Devil, it's a horror movie. The premise was terrific. Execution, not quite as good. I give Late Night with the Devil a C. Finally, from Romania, the kings of the three-hour comedies where you're not sure if it's actually a comedy. Do not expect too much from the end of the world. John, I can't lie. I'm giving this movie an A. Very, very highly recommend this movie. It is almost 3 hours long. It takes place over a single day. It is really bleak. People are saying it's about our current late-stage capitalist nightmare that we all live in. But it has a lot of life to it. The lead actress is terrific. The final shot is, I think, 20 or 30 minutes, a single take, a camera on a tripod, no camera movement. Something about single take shots that can be so emotionally affecting, where you're like 10 minutes into this shot and you're like, well, I guess they're not going to turn this camera off, are they? They're just going to live in front of this camera. The movie is about a woman who films corporate videos for people who've had accidents on the job. She interviews them and they encourage other workers to use their safety equipment. And then it gets folded into this like PR campaign that the company is doing in Romania. Mm. And the final shot of the movie is an interview with one of these people who was injured on the job. The shot is the corporate video camera's perspective of this interview going awry. Mm-hmm. People walking in and out of frame, all kinds of stuff happening. And I truly do think it's like half an hour long, a single take. It's so exciting because it's like, you're like, if someone messes up, they're going to have to do this whole thing all over. Like this movie called Russian Ark, which is a full movie that is a single take. I think there is one sneaky cut, but it's basically like if someone fucks up, they're going to have to start all over again. It makes it feel very exciting. For some reason, to me, even more exciting than live theater, which I don't understand why that would be. But there is a moment where things are going so crazy that one of the characters almost loses it. Like, oh, you can tell he's just about to break. It's so exciting and fun. It's so exhilarating. Anyway, I give that movie an A. If you see it, let me know what you think.
Where would I see it?
Art Theater. You would see it at the Chelsea, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Chelsea Theater, which is where I saw the last great Romanian comedy I've ever seen. The last great Romanian three-hour comedy is this movie called. Actually, I just made this connection. Years ago, I was in Chapel Hill, and I saw this Romanian movie called The Death of Mr. Lazarescu, which is a Romanian quote-unquote comedy about an alcoholic in Bucharest dying as he's wheeled from emergency room to emergency room. And at the end of that movie, when it ended, an older guy in the audience yelled, "Really? That's it?" The other night when I saw Do Not Expect Too Much at the End of the World, when the movie was over, an older woman turned back and said to some people, "Well, I'm glad you were laughing because I didn't know what was going on." So this Romanian comedy's just hit different. They're doing some different stuff. This is not Judd Apatow.
Okay.
The kind of movie where you're like, I'm so glad I saw it. Do I need to see it again? Probably not. John, you have a sports update this week?
Yeah. If you want to go to the sports update, just go to Discord. And go to the sports channel.
That's a good sports update. Listener questions.
Oh, that's right.
Remember when we do listener questions?
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, this is a huge part of our broadcast is doing listener questions.
Is it a broadcast?
I want to start saying broadcast instead of podcast. I'm so over the whole concept of podcasting and. Lord, strike me down if I ever refer to it simply as a pod.
Yeah.
I don't like that either. No. That makes me think of cryogenics and like seeds and stuff. So let's call it a broadcast. But then people will think we're being cheeky because it's like, you know, some types of nerds are like, I'm into old time radio. Look at my suspenders. On today's broadcast, I'm going to talk to a comic book writer.
Is that what they say?
I don't want to be that either.
We could say telecast.
Doesn't that imply the video component that will
never
be
released? Yeah, but broadcast is the same thing.
Fuck my life.
It implies that it's going over the air.
Yeah, you're right. And this isn't really going over the air because it's just on their phones.
This is going through pipes.
We'll call it a phone call. Let's just call it a phone call because most people are listening to this on their phone.
Right.
And it is just like two great guys call you up and chat on your phone with you. So we'll just call it a phone call.
Okay.
All right. Listener questions. This is one of the main parts of our weekly phone call with you, friends. John, a couple weeks ago, you thrilled America when you called them on the telephone to tell them about something you were calling a geostationary. I beg your pardon.
You make it sound like geostationary is a thing.
I doubt that.
Satellites.
Geostationary solar. What was it? Geostationary solar shade?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Tim wrote in. Oh boy, he came out guns blazing, John. You better buckle up. Tim writes, so you know that thing that provides light and energy for our whole planet?
Oh, I don't like this tone already.
The thing that warms us and feeds us?
Oh,
the thing that enables all life on Earth? It must be stopped. Mm-hmm. This, Tim writes, was my reaction to John's idea to provide solar shields or whatever they were called in your last episode.
Shades.
Here's some things to consider.
Okay.
Oh my God, the dude is so rude. During the eclipse, solar panels all through the eclipse path had a significant reduction in productivity. In a very unusual convergence, the eclipse happened on a 100% sunny day in Chicago where I live. So I have the unique opportunity to see how the eclipse would affect the graph of production on my rooftop solar panels. Ordinarily, on a sunny day, the graph would be smooth lines up and down, showing the path of the sun across the sky. On Monday, the day of the solar eclipse, you can see a sharp dip in the graph for the 2 hours during the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, Tim continues, trying to dim the sun would not only affect solar panels, but crops, wildlife, and a million other things we depend on for life on our planet.
Mm.
Didn't Montgomery Burns once try to block out the sun in an episode of The Simpsons to benefit his nuclear power plant? And this is literally the plan of a supervillain. John's argument was that even a 99% blocking of the sun still leaves it light outside, which is somewhat true. But during the eclipse here in Chicago, where we had 95% totality, the light was very much dimmed and eerie. It was totally dark inside my house, which usually has a lot of natural light during the day. It reminded me of an old science fiction series called Dying Earth, about a million years into the future, where the sun is almost burned out. The world is as dark as twilight, both literally and culturally. It's a dystopian future, not some cool shaded paradise.
Sounds like a cool shaded paradise.
So I can't tell if John was trying to troll us or not. If so, well done, because I fell for it. But just to be clear, Tim concludes, trying to dim the sun from space is a terrible idea.
Ooh. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Other people
Jeez,
have come
you're really
going to
double down
idea.
On this. Oh, my God.
I.
You are Christy Gnome and the sun is your dog.
Okay. I did not say that we should dim the sun over the entire Earth. Okay. Just for a neighborhood. Okay.
Oh, I forgot that it was like, it was hyper-local. They were geostationary, hyper-local solar shades.
That's where the geostationary
Why don't you plant
in.
A tree, John? For God's sake, just plant a tree.
You can't grow trees in Dubai.
Oh, that's right. This was all about your deep concern for the citizens of Dubai and
you
their well-being.
You can build tall buildings, which also provide great shade. And I do like that part of them. But I just would think that it would be something that you could take, as I said, take the edge off and dim it down. Not necessarily dim it down to 1%, although that's fine for me. And I really couldn't notice it. Maybe my pupils just adjusted. And it really did seem just as bright to me when we were at 99% totality.
This is not recently, but what was it, 4 years ago when you guys took a road trip to go look at the other eclipse?
Yeah. That's all I got to say on that.
Wow, great defense.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Josh writes in. He says, God, another person getting upset at me.
They're coming for you, Johnny.
In regards to the trashy trampoline colors, John described the color as neon orange or international orange. Which is it? International orange is the iconic color of the Golden Gate Bridge, not a trashy trampoline color. Please clarify. You know, that's a good point.
The listeners are coming for the color of your trampoline.
I will completely accept being at fault here.
Give us the Pantone number or STFU.
Yes. I sort of think of international orange as sort of a bright orange, but it's certainly not fluorescent or neon in any sense. It's more of a reddish hue.
And which orange is your trampoline?
It is horribly neon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah. it's not international. It's like safety orange.
Yeah, safety orange.
Like traffic cone orange?
Yeah, like traffic cone orange. Even brighter than that. Like Tennessee Volunteer orange.
Mm.
Which I like on for Tennessee. But I wouldn't like it in my backyard. David writes in to our broadcast, while we're issuing corrections on your pedal controls spreadsheet, your assessment that a wah pedal only has one control has not been sitting well with me. A wah pedal has two controls, one switch and one pot. While the pot is hidden, it is controlled externally and needs to be included in your tally. While I have you, I'd like to know the origins of the theme music for the show. Is this a David Reese mashup or some commercially sourced audio? It's really great stuff.
So this guy comes and listens to our radio show, or our phone call, I should say. This guy taps into our phone call and listens to our conversation and then tears me to shreds and then turns right around and asks me for a favor. This is the type of people we're calling on our telephone, on our weekly phone call?
Yeah, it was a weird switch there at the end. You know how, like, when you're supposed to when you criticize someone, you're supposed to sandwich it, say something positive, then you lay into them, and then you end with something positive.
Well, I work in Hollywood, so no, I'm not familiar with that tactic at all.
Okay.
When they're like, God, we love everything about this, and we love everything about you. This is the worst piece of shit we've ever written, but you're terrific. Keep us in mind for other projects. Okay, all right, so David, this guy's saying that the wah pedal has a switch and a pot. That's technically true, because if you've ever used a wah pedal, you know that first you kind of you press on it in order to engage the switch. And then when you move your foot up and down and make the pedal go up and down, what you're actually doing is sweeping a potentiometer.
So he was correct.
Except that I don't want to give this to him, because aesthetically, it's a single unit and everything happens in the same. Let me put it to you like this, David. If I had a regular pedal and it had a foot switch that was also a pot, would you count that as two separate things, a switch and a knob? I don't think I would.
You're never supposed to ask questions like that, because he's going to say yes.
Is it like when you're on trial, lawyer, never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
That's right. That's right. So you blew that. You want to take that again?
No, let's move on. David, I respectfully disagree with you. I think a wah can get away with saying a wah has a single thing, because they're both visually, you can't see either of them, and it's a single motion. So functionally, not functionally, but performatively, there's no real difference between the action of the pot and the action of the switch. And I will die upon this hill. As to our theme music, I made it in Ableton back in, 2016? I think it's just some Ableton loops I threw together. Anyone other than David, email me and I'll send you a long version of the theme song if you really love it. David, you're going to have to recreate it yourself with your fucking wah-wah pedals. Finally, some good news. Thank you, Annie. This is just the reprieve that we need. Annie sent in a photo and she said, is this the least tough road sign on 15501? And it is a legendary sign, John. Legendary sign. A blue sign. Landscape orientation. It says Duke Info. Turn radio to 1610 a.m. This is a classic sign.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they still had those signs up. Does anyone do that?
That's pretty new school to have an AM radio sign.
Yeah. And you turn to it and what does it do? What does it
tell
you? I
have no idea. I can't remember where on 15501 this is.
I think it's going down the hill as you're heading into Durham County, right before you get to New Hope Creek, like before Garrett Road, where the old Darrells used to be.
Duke Info, what would it be? I wonder what it is. Is it just
it's like, you know, parking is available in the blue lots. And
the students have burned down the cafeteria and they have taken over the administration building for Palestine. We are calling in the National Guard to execute them all.
I don't think it's something that gets updated. It feels like something that's just really old.
I always just trivia about Duke University.
Yeah.
Founded by tobacco barons.
Well, we could look it up.
You could tune your radio to 1610 a.m.
Not now.
I mean, it must be like a micro station, right?
Because it's very micro, as in it only works right where that sign is.
It's like one of those old pirate stations, right?
Yeah.
Pirate
radio. I couldn't do it all the way over here.
Right. It is not a tough looking road sign, but on the other hand, it's one of those things that is so untough, it circles around and starts to look tough.
Do you know where this is? It's right around in the same area where they used to have a sign that said Jefferson Davis Highway.
Yeah. That sign's gone.
It is, because we stole it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember that?
I didn't steal it. I've never done something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I stole it either, but it's in house.
Somebody in our group or their associates stole it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they were big fans of Jefferson Davis.
This would be like stealing a Confederate statue. It's like it's two birds with one stone. You get the thrill of stealing something, and you're also correcting the course of history and commemoration.
Yeah, and it never was replaced.
Got it. What if instead of when we were in high school, instead of stealing road signs, so you go into your bedroom and you have like a yield sign, you walk into your bedroom, you have a full fucking Confederate statue that you stole, like some guy on a horse. Oh, that would be
very
tough.
I'm telling you, when those things get knocked down, they don't generally get put back up.
That's true. Someone on Patreon, John, wrote in and said, hey, guys, can we get John to hop into his personal Wayback Machine and talk a little bit about the Twitter account called True Facts Stated? I was so glad to hear John bring that up in the last episode. Every once in a while, my wife will tell me something, and I'll reply in the affirmative by saying, true facts stated. That's literally one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Is it, when his wife says this, is it just something random, or is it just something like in the vein of true facts stated?
No,
like,
I imagine...
Like she's telling.
No, I imagine she's like, remember, we're going to go meet my mom at 7. He's like, true facts stated.
No, that can't be how you say it.
That
you
have must to be. If that's true, this person is the funniest person alive. This Patreon
if she
member.
Does it that way. I think it's funny the other way, too. She has to be explaining something that's like
political, you mean?
Political, but over the top. It like something that Keith Overman would be talking about that you're just not quite sure. You know, like I think I mentioned True Facts Stated in reference to somebody saying that Trump was passing gas loudly in court. Mm-hmm. And I said, that sort of sounds like something that True Facts Stated, which for those who don't know, was an old Twitter account.
It's not super old. I would say Trump administration era, right?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, Trump was elected almost a decade ago.
Oh, my God.
We've been talking about this guy for 9 years.
He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind.
So True Facts Stated. I don't know anything about it. It was just some guy.
I associate True Facts Stated with Game Theory Man and who was the British lady who would always tweet out, it gives me no pleasure to say that Trump will probably be executed tomorrow.
Right.
Everyone was on her side for a while until everyone realized she was like a conspiracy nut.
Yeah. They all, none of these people aged well.
It was in the early days, the early frantic, fearful days of the Trump administration.
Right.
And people were reaching for anything. And if you were if you could pull off a certain authoritative tone and appear like if there was a sense that, oh, yeah, I used to work for the National Security Agency or something. Like if you had a certain like tough guy bona fides, you know. Malcolm Nance, I think, was a part of this crew in a way, although he achieved a higher profile because he would go on to MSNBC.
Yeah, he's still out there. But these are the type of people you see and you've got like a little asterisk in your head by them. You're like, yeah, he might have made a good point, but there's no way I'm sending this link to anybody because you don't want to be associated with them.
Oh, look at this. True facts stated. So it's somebody named Claude Taylor.
Yep, that's his name.
And they're buying billboards. John, can we just for once in our life do something without having everyone else in the world rip us off? Louise Mensch. That was the woman I was thinking of.
Yeah.
She was tight with True Facts Stated.
Yeah. She was really out there. True Facts Stated, I don't know if he was always stating facts. But I felt like sometimes he wasn't crazy.
Probably a mixed bag like so many other people on Earth, you know?
They all seemed like they were taking a lot of Adderall. Mensch, definitely game theory guy who I don't know where he ended up going.
Oh, my God.
What? They're all together?
True Facts Stated is the same person as Room Raider?
Yeah, that's right.
That sucks. I hated that. When he would be like, you'd have some academic would be on MSNBC via Zoom during COVID quarantine, and then this jackass would like rate their room like, you need to turn your fern 20 degrees. You need more books. You need 6 out of 10. Oh my God. Why did
these
that
guys, these people really just had no expertise other than just social media type stuff.
But they're older than us. Like they should have expertise
beyond
social media.
They're not that much older.
Really?
I don't think so.
Room Raider really bummed me out for some reason. That makes
Find
that
out
sours
his age.
Me
Look
even
his
more.
Age. Look his age up.
He's old. True Facts Stated is at least 60.
No.
5.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Claude Taylor? Yeah.
Claude
Look
Taylor
at his photo.
Age.
He looks like Aaron Sorkin.
Dude. Watch this.
Claude Taylor.
46.
Get the are you You're fucking with me. You're joking.
I have no idea.
All these guys are like Aaron Sorkin. They all probably really like Aaron Sorkin. It's that type of sensibility, which I guess is kind of like us, but I feel like we're a little different. Maybe because we have a certain secret weapon. I would love to see Aaron Sorkin write a slide whistle into one of his prestige dramas. Two people are like running down the hallway, engaged in conversation, and then they each are like blowing their slide whistle at each other. Like, we need to get the Secretary of State on the line because the situation in Gaza is. But maybe if we could get a ceasefire, then Biden's approval ratings would go. That would be good. That'd be a good scene in Aaron Sorkin. All right. What's going on?
Louise Mensch was born in 1971. So she's a year older than us. And Game Theory guy. Come on. We got to remember his name.
I can't remember his name right now. These are people whose absence from my memory caused me no distress and whose reemergence is making me feel a little sad inside. So let's move on to our next. Let's not reminisce about True Facts Stated anymore.
Okay.
But let's just say it is objectively hilarious that when this listener's wife says anything true, he says True Facts Stated.
Yeah. Rachel sends a missive. I've been meaning to drop a quick line since David implied that you had received negative feedback regarding your recent recitation of available.com domain names to let you know that there was at least one listener who experienced it with pure delight. Words are fun. Honestly, you could have read them for twice as long. No, we couldn't have. And it would have just kept getting funnier.
Words are fun. True Facts Stated. Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. And then she says, however, the inciting incident for this email was actually hearing lyrics that referred to skylines in this song, which also happens to be a fucking banger.
Did you listen to this? Did you listen to this song?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is a banger.
Do you agree the song was awesome?
Yeah.
I had never heard of this song or this artist. Norma Tanega, Tanega.
Mm-hmm.
A song called A Street That Rhymes at 6 a.m. And the skyline line in the song is, it's 6 a.m. I'm looking for a street that rhymes. All I want is a new skyline. This song sounded really good to me.
True Facts Stated.
It's 6 a.m. I'm looking for a street that rhymes. 6 a.m. I'm looking for a street that rhymes. All I want is a new skyline. Everyone is digging in a parallel line.
John, we have some nature recordings. Let's end this week's episode where we've discussed cruelty to animals. Let's end with a celebration of animals. Andrew writes in 2013, I visited my sister in Martinique for a week. She was helping to teach ESL, English, as a second language to the French-speaking kids. It was a beautiful experience I'll treasure for the rest of my life. All over the entire island, little tree frogs sing at night. It was lovely to fall asleep with their singing in the background.
Mm.
And I'm grateful I got to make a short recording of them with the HTC One X smartphone I had at the time.
Thank you for that.
Andrew, let's listen to these Martinique frogs. And we're back. Frogs are so peaceful sounding, even when they're invasive. I don't know if these frogs are invasive, but remember last week we were playing some invasive frogs? I was like, step on my neck. These frogs sound so good. Invade me. All right, why don't you read Dan's?
Attached are two recordings I captured last night of a male American woodcock, also known as a timber doodle, near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You don't need to put the Pennsylvania on there. Pittsburgh is a standalone city
in
the Associated Press. That's me talking there. Doing its courtship display shortly after sundown. In the first, you can hear it vocalizing repeatedly from the ground. The second recording is from a few minutes later when it took to the air, slowly spiraling up a couple hundred feet into the evening sky. The twittering sound actually comes from its wing feathers.
That's so crazy.
But it also makes some chirping calls as it quickly descends and returns to the ground. This is the first one I've seen in at least 10 years. I live in California these days, and woodcocks can only be found in the eastern half of the U.S. and Canada. To me, it's one of the coolest sounds of late winter and early spring.
All right, Dan, first we will listen to the woodcock vocalizing on the ground. And now, the woodcock as it takes to the air. And we're back. Mark writes in, I was able to visit Kyoto this month. Is Kyoto a standalone city?
Not for U.S. residents. It should be.
I was able to visit Kyoto, Japan this month while the sakura were blooming. I made this recording on a hillside in the rain. A bell rang from a distant shrine. I could not identify the bird. Maybe another listener will know what it is. This is a heavy-duty vibe, this Kyoto recording from Mark. Let's check it out, everybody. And we're back.
Wow.
Very nice. Very evocative.
Japan. Never been.
I went to Japan. It's lovely.
You went. Yeah.
A different culture, and yet some things are the same. That's what I have to say about Japan and all of international travel. What do you think about that? True facts stated or nah?
Have you? Yeah.
True facts stated.
Yeah. No, true facts stated. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely true facts stated.
Have you been to Korea?
I've never been to Korea, true facts stated. Have you?
No. The only place in Asia that I've been is China.
True facts stated. You did go to China. And I know because I went with you.
Yeah. Is India in Asia?
Yeah. I think they consider that Asia.
When we grew up, wasn't India considered its own continent? I know it's a subcontinent.
I don't think it was.
Okay. That's just one of those things that I had wrong in my head for years.
You grew up thinking that India was a continent the way Australia is a continent?
I knew it wasn't when you looked at it.
Hmm.
But for years, you know, until like the age of 25 or something, until I was finally corrected.
Who corrected you?
I think it may have been someone from Australia.
Wow. I would have loved to have heard that conversation.
Yeah, I think it involved domain names. And I was like, yeah, we have the domain names of all the continents.
Oh, my God. And then you mentioned India and the Australia was like, sorry, mate. This is no continent. This is India.
Australia. Now, that's a continent.
Oh, my God. I could totally see this Australian guy saying that.
Yeah.
Did he have like spiky blonde hair? And
yeah,
like,
but
was
you
he wearing
I'm
like
doing?
A short
I'm
sleeve
doing
shirt?
That.
With the...
Now, that's a knife.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Is that? Oh, Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Is Steve Irwin also Australian?
He's not alive anymore.
Right. He was. Yeah. He had a horrible accident. But was he Australian? I kind of don't think he
probably.
Was.
Probably.
You think so?
Yes.
You know who's Australian? Heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Nicole Kidman. Uncanny impression of Nicole
Kidman.
That
was her? Yeah. I thought that was a Kennedy.
Heartbreak. Oh, yeah. The Kennedys were also Australian. I'll take it in my Australian accent.
Yeah.
Ask not what your country can... Some accents are too hard
to
do.
Ask not what...
That's a real needle to thread. The patrician New England accent versus the Australian accent. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So that's regular Kennedy impersonation. But Australian? Ask not what your country can do for you.
It's like...
Ask not.
I don't know.
You got it. You got it. Go. You were so close. Go.
Ahoy there, matey. No, that's a pirate.
That's pirate.
Pirate.
God, remember when everyone was so into pirates?
Yeah.
Arg Day or whatever it's called?
You know, Ocracoke
Island. Talk like a pirate day. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
You know who's really into that? Mike Watt. Huh?
Pirates?
He was really into Talk Like a Pirate Day, probably because of San Pedro and like the naval stuff.
We should have been more into pirates because, you know, Blackbeard, Edward Teach, you know, he was a famous pirate.
I was into Blackbeard as a kid. How could you not be if you were, when you go to the coast of Carolina, it's all about Blackbeard.
Yeah. He used to hang out on Ocracoke Island. That is where he, that's where he died, actually.
That's right.
The Virginians came down and killed him. Because
he used to set his beard on fire in order to appear more terrifying.
We don't know if that's true, but that's what they say.
Normal strategy.
He ran his ship aground a few, maybe like 50 miles south of Ocracoke Island, just a few weeks before he actually was killed. Queen Anne's Revenge was the name of his ship. And then they found it. And North Carolina was like, yeah, we think we found it. And everyone was like, yeah, sure you found it. They're just trying to get like tourist dollars. But North Carolina was like, we're not going to definitively say we found it because we can't really do that. But then eventually they did say, yeah.
Really?
It is Queen Anne's Revenge.
Did they bring it up?
They brought up a ton of cannons and stuff. Yeah.
But the ship probably rotted away because it had been many, many years and it was made out of wood.
I mean, they brought up a lot of it. And there's a huge lawsuit right now involved with the Supreme Court because the state of North Carolina, a private venture is what found it. But because it's in North Carolina waters, North Carolina had the rights to it. So the company that found it said, we want the media rights.
Interesting.
And North Carolina was like, oh, okay. And then North Carolina did something which is really kind of shady. They passed a law that said anything found off the coast of North Carolina, all media rights go to North Carolina.
Wow.
And then the state of North Carolina just like uploaded all this video footage to their, you know, state websites. And this company was like, what? And
wow, they really did him dirty.
Yeah, I think it's called like the Blackbeard case or the Blackbeard media law. It's probably not called anything like that, but that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And you should look it up.
I'm going to look it up. That's really interesting. I love looking at undersea footage.
Scary.
Usually I would unthinkingly side with a state government over a private enterprise. But
yeah,
in this case, it kind of seems like they kind of did them dirty.
Yeah, they
kind of did
them
dirty.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of this book I'm reading called Cryptonomicon. It's pretty short. It's only 5 or 6 pages long. Last night I passed the 250 page mark, which means I'm at 1/4 of the way through this book. And part of this book is about laying underwater cables for a data haven. And for a while it goes unspoken like, yeah, one of the reasons we want to lay these cables is that if we find treasure down there, we'll make a lot of money on the treasure. As long as someone is subsidizing us to be underwater all the time, laying these internet cables, we might also find some wonderful treasure.
That's the same way they discovered the Titanic. It wasn't laying cables, but they had a guy who was an underwater specialist and he was working for the Navy.
Right. It was like a nuclear submarine stuff, right?
Yeah. They were trying to find this old, you know, nuclear missiles that had gone missing.
Right.
And they said, yeah, if you find them early, then you'll have time left over to look for the Titanic. And then he found it. And then he was sad.
God, I still can't imagine. All those people who said they'd rather go to the moon than go to the Titanic. What were they smoking? Titanic number one for life. All right, let's end this episode.
Hey, Election Profit Makers, it's an independent production. We welcome your support on Patreon at patreon.com/electionprofitmakers. And if you sign up for Patreon, you'll receive some wonderful EPM stickers that nobody else gets. Only the Patreon members get them. Receive them in the mail. You'll also get an invite code to our private Discord.
Which is pretty good, I gotta say.
Sometimes we get new people that come in and they just like take over immediately and really add a lot.
I like that. I like dipping in and out of the Discord. I'm not as active on the Discord as John is. John will fight anybody on the Discord about fucking anything. I mostly just lurk, but I do like our Discord and I appreciate all the listeners who make it a nice place for people to hang out.
Yeah, me too. I like to hang out in the sports section, but the other day everyone really deep on baseball and soccer, and I had no idea what they were talking about.
That's rough for you.
So, I'll continue here.
Sure.
Here. Yeah, send your election prediction questions, your skyline request, your bird recordings,
frog recordings.
Your frog recordings to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. And if you want to advertise with us, email contact@electionprofitmakers.com.
That's the end of this broadcast, phone call, pod. Ugh. That doesn't sit well with me.
I think pod. You need to get over it, honestly.
Really? All right. That's it for this week's pod. We'll see you on next week's pod.
Bye.
You're right. It does feel good to say that.